You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm out doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So, finally, we could put the Week 9 NFL schedule in the books with the Lions beating the Packers 30-17. We'll break that game down for you, and then we'll go into our Week 10 mode here with Pickup Tuesday. That's your waiver wire and free agent acquisition help. And a reminder on Locked On Fantasy Football, as well as the entire Locked On Network, we are teamed up with Pro Football Focus here. We have our special guest Thursdays, a director of fantasy for Pro Football Focus, Jeff Ratcliffe. And the best thing about that is you guys can win a subscription to Pro Football Focus, PFF Edge, a $39.99 value by going to iTunes, leaving your Twitter handle and a review for every show. We're picking a winner per show per week, so go do that to leave a kind word, and you have a shot to win the best access you can get to Pro Football Focus, whether you're a fantasy player, reality, the player grades, all the things that they're known for, and plus, we're always glad to have the inside of Jeff here on Thursday. So, Lineup Thursday is a couple days away, but we'll start here with Pickup Tuesday with the Lions and Packers. The Lions, this was their best offensive performance all around of the season. Everyone really came through here that usually trust. Matthew Stafford, we thought it was a great matchup against the secondary, came through 361 yards and two TDs, kept throwing and throwing and throwing. They really couldn't run the ball. Before Amir Abdullah hit the doghouse with a couple fumbles, one lost, one that the Lions were able to recover. He did score a touchdown here, 21 carries for 48 yards. So Lions running game still not doing anything. Theo Riddick had a long catch there, the extension of the running game. A screen that was late in the game. So in a PPR, you're happy with Riddick there with 4 for 62, as well as adding a few rushes here for 5 for 11. So you're happy if you went with Riddick. You're semi-happy if you went Abdullah because you probably had low expectations. He still got in the end zone. But going forward, that's going to be the concern because Jim Caldwell immediately doghoused him in favor of Riddick, even in rushing situations. And Dwayne Washington, even though he was terrible, it was kind of a statement for Abdullah. We'll have to see if he's going to hold on to the ball enough where Caldwell's going to trust him or if this is it for Amir Abdullah. He just hasn't been that effective. And Lions just not a very good run-blocking team. You might have to go elsewhere for a starting RB2 or flex. That's all he's been this season, nothing more. And it's not been pretty at all. So it's not like you're hurting too much there if you have to find an alternative put in. With the receiving core, Golden Tate looked fully healthy back there again. 7 catches, 113 yards on 9 targets. 7 catches, 107 yards on both touchdowns here for Marvin Jones, 11 targets. So Tate and Jones being more involved. Kenny Galladay as the hamstring has been an issue. TJ Jones faded away. It's really a two-receiver team here for the most part, which is good for the value of Tate and Jones. And Riddick is your best backfield play from this team going forward. On the Packers side, we said Brett Hundley could be a deep streamer, and really he ended up that way in the backdoor, weird kind of way. He had 245 yards passing, so that's close to 10 yards or 10 points there, but he also had 22 yards rushing and a TD, so you got that as well. So not terrible, but he was not very good in this game. I think they just went too much dinking and dunking with him, not enough downfield passing. They didn't trust him as much. It was also a tough matchup. Darius Slay is on the other side. He really contained Jordy Nelson for the most part. 4 for 35 on 7 targets for Nelson. Devontae Adams had 10 targets, caught 7 for 53. Randall Cobb ended up being the most effective receiver, caught all of his targets, 5 for 58 here with a big play for 46 yards. That was really the only Packers big play, but it was frustrating because it all came in the ending. The game, and you saw that tempo actually worked. If they had gone up tempo the whole game, got Hundley moving and throwing downfield, you'd think he could be more effective. And he wasn't, again, as terrible as people are going to make it sound here. But I think I did see a lot of positive things from it. I think the only thing I didn't see was the playbook was pretty bad. They didn't try to get the running game going as much. And I think things are going to get better. Hang in there if you've got Packers receivers. Obviously, you're not looking at Hundley as a guy that you're playing forward now that the bye weeks are about to end. But hang in there if you're a Nelson or Adams owner. I think this is going to get better. And it's a good time if you're not a Nelson or Adams owner to go buy low on these guys. You won't have to give up too much. Maybe you can get Amir Abdullah out of your lineup and make a deal for Adams, and it, right now it would look like a fair trade. So keep that in mind if you're on the other side of things. One other development here for the Packers that is of note, that Ty Montgomery was back more in the mix. It was more game flow. The game got out of hand. Aaron Jones was the starter here, but only 5 carries for 12 yards. They had 5 for 33 for Montgomery, but a lot of that came when the game was out of hand and there was some open running lanes. Unfortunately, if you were a Jones owner looking for a touchdown, Jamal Williams came in and scored a 1-yard plunge in the end of the game here. So Montgomery still might have a big role in this backfield. The game flow right now is not necessarily going to be good with Hundley there and their defense struggling. So it could be more Montgomery going forward. Jones is still a talented back. I just think it was extremely hard to get him going in this type of matchup where it snowballed quickly. Montgomery had also 1 catch for 18 yards. So he's still usable to me as a flex if you need Montgomery, just because he can do a lot of little things for you. And this Packers offense is going to probably need to lean more and more on him with Hundley struggling here for sure. So we'll have to see how this backfield plays out, but I would expect you'll see Jones and Montgomery with a more even split, maybe more of Jamal Williams as well going forward in power rushing situations. A bit frustrating if you were a owner of Aaron Jones and thought you were sitting pretty after his big games there against the Cowboys and Saints. It looks like the Packers could go two ways. It could be the game flow keeps struggling where you don't see Jones touch the ball enough, or you could go run heavy on Jones early in the game and maybe they can control some. I think the Bears game is a good chance here where they won't get blown out of the building because the Bears offense isn't explosive, but maybe a chance to see how this backfield really truly shakes out. And reminder, if you really love both of these teams, check out Locked On Packers, Locked On Lions. Our hosts do a great job on the network. It's your chance to go in-depth on both teams every week, just the way we do with fantasy football. They go all in on the Lions and Packers. Now it's time to move on to the pickups of the week here. We'll start, as we always do, with running back, the marquee position where everyone's always looking for help. And again, if you're listening with Abdullah and Jones, those situations, you are probably looking for a little help or always looking for a little tweak and upgrade. So we'll start with the guy that you had to have to pick up and stash here if you can afford not to have a 1 week play. It's Danny Woodhead of the Ravens. All signs point to him coming back. If you had an IR spot in your league, I hope you held on to him, because you look at the way things have gone for Buck Allen. Yeah, Buck Allen actually had a pretty good fantasy game against the Titans, but in reality, they can't wait to have Woodhead back here to flank Alex Collins and Allen. Woodhead is just meant to be a special part of this offense. You saw that week one. He got a lot of touches immediately right before he got that hamstring. So he was on his way to a potentially solid season, maybe the RB2 flex. So they expect him to be fully healthy after this bye here, come back in week 11, and be a big part of the offense. So if you can afford the roster spot, you don't need anything immediate help, Danny Woodhead is clearly the pickup that you have to go to first. The next guy I'm looking at is Thomas Rawls. And maybe that you look at him and this Eddie Lacy situation where it was very tough there going on with the matchup against the Redskins. Then he also got hurt. So Rawls, you look at him and what he can do, not that exciting for this Seahawks offense, especially playing a good Cardinals run defense here coming up. But overall, I think you have to take a chance on Rawls. He has been an effective player in the past when healthy. Go back to his rookie year as a closer for Seattle. They have to run the ball, football a little bit. You know that Russell Wilson took a beating there. So I think that's something that we'll definitely watch develop. The Seahawks did add Dwayne Brown. They do have Justin Britt still at center, and they're going to get Luke Joeckel back at some point. So I think this could be a very effective running team, surprisingly, down the stretch as the matchups totally open up here. So Rawls is also a stash. I don't think you can play him immediately Thursday night, but he's definitely someone that could be a big help down the line. Now, if you're looking for more immediate help, you have to look at Matt Forte. He's been dropped in a lot of shallow leagues when he got hurt in the middle of the season. And there's a reason this Jets team, when they were purging all those veterans in the offense, like Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, that they kept Forte, because they liked his versatility, liked his reliability, that he could be a good pass catcher as well as pass blocker here on third downs. And even with Bilal Powell coming back and Elijah McGuire having a little bit of a flash here, Forte has gone back to being the lead dog. He scored twice against the Bills. There's first two touchdowns of the season. So you look at the matchup against the Buccaneers, they're really struggling against everything now. And this is a game where the game flow should be in their favor. No Jameis Winston and Mike Evans on the other side, remember. So Josh McCown is going to open things up here with the throwing downfield to Robbie Anderson and Austin Seferian Jenkins. So that's going to be good things for Forte. So Forte is a good short-term play. He's a good long-term play as long as he keeps getting all the touches and is going to get the chances with pay dirt. Forte has to be owned in every league at this point going forward. Another guy that I think has to be owned, and you may see some owners drop him because of frustration, but when you dig deeper, Frank Gore did get more touches than Marlon Mack against the Texans in that matchup, but Mack was still getting the ball in the key spots. He's always the bigger threat to score a touchdown. Inside the 10, he's a better option. He's a better option in the receiving game as well. So Marlon Mack, last call for him. If someone has dropped him or been very frustrated about him, you go after Mack now and feel pretty good about him. Even in a tough matchup against the Steelers, that you can put him out there at least as a deep league flex, maybe in a deep league RB2, depending on who's on or off for your team. He always has a chance to score with every game, and I think he's still the more effective runner than Gore overall for what the Colts want to do. Now, Thomas Rawls, I don't really love the matchup this week against the Cardinals, but it's notable that Eddie Lacy is hurt there. He got injured against the Redskins, and you already had CJ Procise. He's been on and off with the ankle injury that's kept him in and out of the lineup. Their best runner so far has been J.D. McKissic and really Russell Wilson. But when you look at Rawls, you know that he has the capability. If this offensive line can get it together, maybe Dwayne Brown can help a little bit here down the stretch. Seahawks know they have to run the ball a little bit better. This one-dimensional thing is okay, but it's going to take a toll on Wilson. It did kind of against the Redskins. So they've got to somehow find a way to establish someone in the backfield. And Rawls, we need some clarity. Great. This thing isn't happening really with this backfield, but there's an opportunity later with Rawls, especially with no Lacy. When he's in a situation where he's splitting carries, they're both ineffective, and they keep trying to make Lacy work. Rawls doesn't get enough touches to make things happen, but I think going forward, that could definitely be there, and he's a sneaky stash. I'm not thrilled about him again against the Cardinals, but someone in December that could be very valuable for the Seahawks. Now, if you dig a little deeper, I like Devontae Booker here. The Broncos are really looking for a spark offensively. CJ Anderson has been bottled up. Jamal Anderson has. But Booker has some moves here. He's the youngest back of that trio. He's got some explosiveness. He's a good receiver. We saw him score a couple weeks ago against the Chiefs. The Eagles game you have to throw out for the entire offense. But you look at Booker, I just think the upside is going to be there. And if the Broncos keep free-falling and they want to look at younger players, Paxton Lynch gets in there as well, same draft class in 2016, that Booker could be a bigger part of this offense. So Booker's a guy that's a bit of a sneaky pickup this week that's going to see more action here soon. And the game flow is not going to hurt him as much if they get blown out a little bit. Booker's still going to be involved in the passing game. And There's no reason to trot out Anderson or Charles in those situations anyway for the Broncos. Now, Rex Burkhead is very intriguing to me. I think the Patriots are going to do some reshuffling with their backfield. James White is the only kind of safe guy in terms of what his role is going to be, the receiving role purely. But Deion Lewis and Mike Gillisley have had very mixed to limited results as the power backs, so to speak. And Burkhead needs to be more involved in the offense here because he's so versatile. He's very much like Danny Woodhead in the fact that he can be a power back near the goal line if needed, but he's also capable of lining up in the slot, being an effective receiver all over the field. So very similar players. Patriots got him as that Swiss Army knife. Remember, he was hurt with that ribs injury where we couldn't see a lot of Burkhead here in that middle part of the first half of the season. So Burkhead doesn't surprise me at all if he steps into a big role coming out of the bye for the Patriots. He's a guy that can kind of work over the Broncos a little bit because of his versatility in the passing game. Very much like the next guy I'm going to talk about is Corey Clement. And Clement, there's a little bit of flukiness, of course, with his three TDs against the Broncos. Had one receiving, two rushing there. It was just him grinding out the clock. They didn't want to overwork Jay Ajayi in his first game. Ajayi still scored, but Clement is definitely taking over as the third down back here. So Wendell Smallwood can be totally drop now. He's the guy that you're looking at in more receiving situations for the Eagles. Can do a lot of things for them. No wonder he last is an undrafted free agent from Wisconsin, despite all the depth they had at running back. So there's definitely a role for him down the stretch. He's more of a deeper league flex for me right now. And they're also on a bye here in week 10. So no help like Woodhead. He's not going to help you right now, but he could definitely help you in the future. Again, I think J.J., they're probably looking at him as an 18-touch back at most here, and then they're going to have Clement get 10 or more looks. At, when you combine the targets and actual carries for Clement, you're going to see about 10 opportunities for game. So still not a lot, but I think he's definitely more intriguing to them right now than LeGarrette Blount behind Ajayi, so I think that'll play out a little bit more. Now, Damian Williams, a lot of people jumped on Kenyon Drake, and that was the right move because Drake is the better overall talent and was involved very nicely against the Raiders, had a two-point conversion, had some other nice runs as well to have a solid game for you as an RB2. But Damian Williams also came through as an RB2 because he had the touchdown. He's going to be out there in a lot of passing situations for the Dolphins just because they love him in pass protection. They love what he can do as a receiver as well. So Williams is got a role there in the timeshare. He's not going to go away, and Drake is not going to be a feature back. So keep that in mind, and he's going to have some value. Again, deeper leagues, you always have to look at running back help. And this is the last call for any of the Cowboys shares. Alfred Morris is definitely owned in all your leagues now because he's the direct backup and handcuff, even if nothing was going to happen with Ezekiel Elliott. But when you look at the situation now with Elliott and the uncertainty going forward, he played against the Chiefs, but we don't know what's there. You got to get part of Darren McFadden or Rod Smith and just take your chances. If you can do a speculative ad on either of those guys and can afford to do that, especially if you're a Zeke owner, you should go ahead and do it now and don't worry about the actual outcome of the case. You should have some backup for Elliott anyway, just in case he goes down, and you might as well get some share of that before somebody else in your league does. And you're out of a chance of continuing Cowboys rushing production. We obviously talk a lot about running backs here on Locked On Fantasy Football, but who are the next generation of guys, Saquon Barkley and the like, that we'll be talking about as key guys in 2018? Well, the show for you there is Locked On NFL Draft. It's never too early to start thinking about what's going to happen in April when all the teams are on the clock, so check out that show on the Locked On Network as well. We look at wide receivers. Josh Doctson is number one for me. You look at his usage in Washington. Increased, had a big play there against the Seahawks. Should have been a touchdown. Kind of fell short there and turned into Rob Kelly plunge touchdown instead. But Doctson is definitely being looked at for both big plays and red zone work. Jameson Crowder hamstrung, with Jordan Reed hamstrung. Doctson and Vernon Davis are the main guys here that are the lifeblood now of the Redskins passing game. A lot of injuries on this team. This long, long list. And Doxson, just too much of a special talent, first-round pick that's on the rise that you definitely have to look at. Now, on the Browns, people have been wondering about Corey Coleman, and everyone's been, like, on Josh Gordon here because of all the things about his comeback and the potential reinstatement, the conditional, and what he can do, and everyone is fascinated by the myth of Josh Gordon, but Corey Coleman is more the reality in the near future here. He's the one returning from the hand injury. He was supposed to have a big role as the number one with whoever was out there quarterback. It's going to be Kizer here probably for the rest of the way. So Kizer and Coleman can be a pretty good matchup here, especially when Coleman is going to get high volume. They need somebody at that position with Kenny Britt and the rest of those guys, Ricardo Lewis, Rashard Higgins. They're just not capable of going week to week. Coleman is that type of number one receiver. Remember, like Doxson, he's a first-round pick from last year, so he's got that kind of talent. And Gordon, as much as it's fun to dream and hope that he can return to that once explosive form, all of a sudden he's an older receiver, it's a different offense, a lot of different things have changed here since he last played. So Coleman, go for the tangible, don't go for the myth that is Gordon. Corey Davis, speaking of first-round receivers, named Corey, I think you have to look at him as the role expanding a little bit more and more as he gets healthy and back up to speed. He did play Rashard Matthews and Eric Decker, had the touchdowns there. So Corey Davis, I think, is more of a deeper league speculation, but the upside is just there as the schedule really becomes favorable down the stretch for the Titans. I think they'll want to get this young kid involved and productive. This could be the last call for Robert Woods. He's been consistent for several weeks, and then he exploded with his first two touchdowns of the season. Ridiculous 3rd-and-33 play against the Giants, but if you look at his baseline versus Cooper Kupp and Sammy Watkins, Cooper Kupp has a pretty low ceiling, while Sammy Watkins is boom or bust. Well, Woods has been pretty consistent. Now you saw that he can also make some big plays there for the Rams with his two scores there against the Giants. So look at the matchup against the Texans. It's very good for Woods. So another chance to keep playing this guy. He's got to 4 or 5 straight weeks of solid production. He had the spike here against the Giants. It could be more solid here going down the stretch in a high-octane offense where he definitely is a big part, and he definitely has the full trust of Jared Goff. Marquise Lee, again, last call for him. We've heard about D.D. Westbrook and Allen Hurns, but this is clear that Blake Bortles and Lee have a good connection. Lee is playing through pretty much anything, and a knee injury limited him the whole week. Didn't stop him at all on game day. Produced him very well. So I think with Lee and Woods, by now you should recognize that your quarterbacks really trust them, and they're truly their go-to guys in all kinds of situations. Very similar receivers out of a USC both, and I think you're seeing that play out this season. Really, Woods, Lee, Juju Smith-Schuster, it seems to be a thing with these USC receivers that they can line up anywhere and have good hands to catch balls wherever you go. Now, you have to look at Marquise Goodwin. I know the results weren't there against the Cardinals that we expected, but it was a grind for the entire offense. C.J. Beathard really couldn't throw downfield, but they are playing the Giants this week. The Giants have kind of given up a little bit on deep balls and guys running free with a great speed. We saw that with the Woods play. Not even a speedster, but you did see that the Watkins play a track star. So Goodwin definitely has that type of speed to maybe burn the Giants a good 1 week streamer if you're looking for a wide receiver 3. And Curtis Samuel might have some value. Look in that Carolina receiving core. It was pretty much just Devin Funchess and Christian McCaffrey, but Curtis Samuel was the third guy that popped up. And the matchup against the Dolphins is a chance for him to get going in that secondary. So Samuel, very low owned, but he does have a high upside in this offense. Remember, he's a second-round pick right after McCaffrey, and they want to get him involved. Part of it in the reasoning for trading away Kelvin Benjamin is the fact that they thought they had something special in Samuel if they could get him the ball more. So keep that in mind, and the Dolphins game is a good opportunity to do that with an extra day there on Monday Night Football to get him prepared. Now we'll flip to the quarterbacks, and there's a lot of good streamers this week, and really a lot of them are in the same games. We'll start with the Bucks-Jets game. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to start this game for the Bucks. He's a former Jet. On the other side, you have former Buccaneer Josh McCown. So this could be an old man's passing duel here, And both these teams, I mentioned Forte and his effectiveness could be there, but they don't mind getting the ball downfield. The Jets have got more air raid here. That's really helped McCown with the Anderson and his receivers, Safarian Jenkins, a former Buck as well. So he'll be itching to do something in this game as well. Then the other side, Fitzpatrick. You're probably going to see a lot more throws to Cameron Brate this week with no Mike Evans. But there's still DeSean Jackson. There's still Chris Godwin that could make some plays here for Fitzpatrick and O.J. Howard as well. And we saw Fitzpatrick had a good connection with these tight ends pretty early. He threw the touchdown to Luke Stocker, which didn't help anyone in New Orleans last week. But Fitzpatrick, we've seen the past, and good matchups can come through. Same thing with McCown, and this is good for both of the venerable recycled ones playing each other. You knew this was going to happen someday, that they were going to play their former teams against each other, and that's what it's playing out here. You look out in San Francisco, it's the Giants and 49ers. Eli Manning, as much as the Giants stunk, Eli Manning was still pretty good. Had a couple touchdowns there for the Giants. And as long as the Giants get blown out, Manning's going to throw some garbage time. And the 49ers is a chance where Orleans Darkwa can get going. That's going to open up the passing game. The 49ers defense is just totally decimated by injuries. So Eli, it's hard to trust him totally, but this matchup is so good. Keep in mind that Drew Stanton was able to throw two TDs against his 49ers defense. So that's something you look at. And C.J. Beathard on the other side. We mentioned Goodwin here, Marquise. There's a chance for some big plays against Giants secondary that's kind of reeling. I think Aldrick Robinson can be a bigger factor as well. So Beathard has also proved that he can run a little bit and get some points there. So that's another good game. So involving the Giants and Jets and their opponents, some good streaming options. And Jay Cutler, I don't really love the matchup against the Panthers. I picked him up and played him there to fill in for Tom Brady. Very happy about that against the Raiders. But he's a matchup-based play for me, but a good backup to have a streaming option in the right spots, because at least the Miami offense looks like it has a few things together there now with the backfield settle and the receiving core back healthy with Devontae Parker. We go to our next position. It's tight end, and not too much to see here. A couple guys coming off injury that if you have a chance to stack, especially with the way this position has gone this season, Charles Clay is going to be returning here pretty soon for the Bills. He's going to take over and have a big role still, even with the acquisition of Kelvin Benjamin. And then Greg Olsen, the Panthers have a bye next week, but he's on his track to be back in a couple weeks. So if you have an IR spot or something, if you can maneuver your roster a little bit, and Clay or Olsen is available still in your league, go ahead and take care of that and stash it, especially if you have some weakness at tight end. If you're looking short term, I think you have to look at Tyler Kroft. AJ Green, he needed some receiving buddy in this offense, and now you see that Kroft is the second option there ahead of Brandon LaFell and the other wideouts here, especially with a lot of the wide receiver injuries. Kroft getting the job done downfield as well as in the red zone. So bigger part of this offense as they feel more confident in him, and the Titans matchup is very good this week for a tight end streamer. And we mentioned one more guy that could be coming back from injury here soon is C.J. Fedorowicz. They need a spark at tight end. There's a security blanket need here for Tom Savage or Matt McGloin whenever they make that change there for the Texans. So Fedorowicz, another guy with Clay and Olsen that soon coming back from injury that could really help your team down the stretch, especially if you've been struggling to find a reliable starter at tight end all season. Now we'll close with the defenses. The Lions, they didn't really do much in Green Bay. No sacks there really that they could put too much pressure of note on Brett Hundley. They got a few, but still nothing explosive about their game as they give up garbage points. But that won't happen against Cleveland. It's a great matchup at home against the Browns. The Browns are coming off a bye, but that shouldn't scare you. The Lions will make plays at home like they always do. So great play this week. And the Lions, if you saw them being dropped for the Packers game, go pick them up. I think they'll be a lot more effective this week. The Patriots get the Broncos this week, and that's struggling offense. The Patriots' defense has played a lot better of late against the Chargers and Falcons, so I think Patriots could make some big plays against a mistake-prone offense that's giving up a lot of sacks and can turn over the ball. And the Giants, granted, the effort was terrible against the Rams, but the 49ers are a different story. This is not an explosive offense, so they can maybe get some mistakes. The sacks could definitely be there against Beathard like they were for the Cardinals, another maligned defense that came through with a good game because of the matchup. So Lions, Patriots, and Giants could all be available in your leagues and definitely playable immediately this week. So there you have it. There's your Pickup Tuesday for Week 10. Everything that we recommend on the waiver wire here to help your team based on injuries and other developments. We're here to help your team every week from Monday through Thursday. Turn your team into a better one and into a winner by the time we're all done. So for Locked On Fantasy Football, for the entire Locked On Network, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time for Matchup Wednesday, where we break down all the games of Week 10.